And now, the internationally recognized, critically acclaimed, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
On the line with me is Herb Sewell, former chairman of Walton Chemical. He's been a visitor to the White House, a frequent guest of the President and Mrs. Bush in Texas. His new book is called The Bush Legacy, and we welcome you, Herb, to our program this evening.
Always a pleasure, Phil.
I was struck by one of the chapters in your book on religion. Today was the inaugural prayer, and you mentioned President Bush, quote, knows his constituents and knows how to play to them. Is he a religious man?
Well, Phil, the president knows that it was very important to get the religious right on board, and people who are traditionally refer to themselves as Christian, it was very important to get them, and it's a big part of his message. And I have to say, it was admirable the way he got a lot of people on board believing it.
Well, what do you mean believing it?
Well, George Bush is spiritual, but he is far from a very devout man. He paints himself to be. In the few encounters I've had with him, he appeared to be a man who would certainly be comfortable with a off-color joke, or looking at women's bodies. But the larger issue here,
the president would ogle other women.
You know, in a way that men do, not in any way that would be disrespectful to his wife. The larger issue, Phil, is that Americans need to believe that the president is devoutly religious. President Bush knew that this campaign would turn on playing to the American people as a devoutly spiritual man. And I applaud him for his ability to pull it off. But I'm also a little bit surprised at the American people that they would fall.
But you count yourself as a friend of his. It sounds to me as if you're painting him as a phony.
Oh, but I'm not trying to do that.
Well, the way you're describing him, it sounds as if...
No, I'm not trying to do that at all, Phil. Please understand who it is we're talking about. We're talking about a politician. Politicians traditionally have... I don't know why the American people would want to throw themselves fully into the belief that President George Bush, or any politician for that matter, whether it be Jimmy Carter, who was also considered to be quite religious, but he admitted in an interview in Playboy magazine that he had some, I think he called them lustful thoughts.
Did he say he lusted after women?
Well, he said more than that. He said he had some lustful thoughts about members of his own family, and that...
I don't remember that.
Well, but the point is that did not help him. The American people don't want to believe that their presidents are flawed, and so George Bush knows this, and I think he's done my hat is off to him for doing an admirable job in conning the American people.
All right, there's a word right there, the word con.
Well, I say it out of respect, though. I'm not trying to say he's dishonest.
No, but when you say he conned the American people into believing that he's religious, are you saying that he's not?
No, I'm not saying that George Bush is not religious. I think he is a man who attends church. I think he has some sense of spiritual life. I think that, I think it's very well known in the inner circles of Washington that he and Laura are far from the prim and proper couple that they paint themselves to be. But it doesn't matter, because as long as you get these... As President Bush himself called them, some of these country bumpkins into believing that...
President Bush called who a country bumpkin? He called the Christians?
Well, Ralph Reed, for instance. I'll give you an example. Ralph Reed was the chairman of President Bush's re-election efforts in Florida. And yet, I was sitting in a room one night when President Bush referred to Ralph Reed, and I will quote, as that turd in Florida, end quote.
And the president said that about the guy that was heading up his re-election effort in Florida.
He did, and it was not a bad... I don't think he was trying to say anything negative about Ralph. He said he was angry that day about something. But in other words...
But this is the same Ralph Reed who was very prominent in anti-abortion and...
Very, very prominent in the religious right, absolutely, yes. And yet there's the President of the United States calling the man who heads up his re-election effort in Florida a turd. What I'm saying, and what the book, The Bush Legacy, tries to give to the American people is, when you hear all of this talk about the president being a devoutly religious man and that he is going to blend, you know, meld church and state, it's not going to happen. First of all, he's a very pragmatic man. Secondly, President Bush secretly is not a big fan of some of these people. He is not going to overturn Roe v. Wade. He is not.
Is he pro-choice?
Well, he's not going to say that, but I don't think he... I think that George Bush has said in the past that they'll never... I'm not going to let those... And I don't know what word he used, but it was disparaging. I'm not going to let them run this White House. And I think he was referring to... Well, I told you he referred to Ralph Reed as a turd. So,
are the American people then stupid for voting for George Bush? And from the standpoint of...
Well, I don't know what their political point of view is.
Well, no, but from the standpoint of believing that he is religious...
Well, I think the American people have always been not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree when it comes to the moral character of their presidents. They always want to believe the best. They wind up getting disappointed. And in the case of George Bush, I don't think that while there is no extramarital sex going on, as there was with President Clinton, and there's no criminal behavior going on, as there was with President Nixon, George Bush is a man who, at the end of the day, after he has shaken all the religious right hands, after he's kissed all of the Christian babies, after he's patted all the Christian women on the head, at the end of the day, he's a man who'll go into the bathroom and give his hands a good washing because he's...
Does he not like those people?
Well, I don't know.
Well, what, at the end of the day, he goes into the bathroom and washes his hands.
Well, I think he understands that they're not people that are his people, but... I mean, I've heard him say after spending a day on the stump with in the Christian communities, he'll come back to the White House and say something like, "Now I need a shower," as if I got to wash all of this, all the baloney off of me, you know.
So, all right, with me is Herb Sewell. The book is called The Bush Legacy. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And it's an interesting book because you're saying that George Bush is not the spiritual guy that everybody thinks he is. He's not the devoutly religious guy everybody thinks he is. He's not particularly enamored of pro-life people. He doesn't. He referred to Ralph Reed as that turd in Florida. And you say that inside the Beltway in Washington, the Bush, Laura, and George are not the.
They're not the prim and proper. No, I think people know that they like to have a good time. I think George and Laura are both wonderful people, but they let their hair down, let me put it that way. And
are they phonies?
No, they're not phonies. I think they're very real to their friends. But
I mean, to the American people, are they phonies?
Well, the American, you can't be honest with the American people all the time. And this is one of these wonderful discussions that you'll have in a party late at night. Can you tell the American people the truth all the time? No, you can't. If you told the American people all of the truth all of the time, there would be panic rioting in the streets for weeks. No, you have to, as a father doesn't tell his children everything, the president doesn't tell the American people everything. But the reason why I wrote the book is to say, you know, hats off to a wonderful president who has sold to the American people this idea that he's all devout and everything.
The inaugural prayer that was today, which they fought very long and hard to have a prayer.
That's correct.
They wanted to make the statement that this is going to be an administration run by a man who's very religious.
That is correct, yes.
And this was a very controversial thing.
Well, Billy Graham did the inaugural prayer today, and President George Bush referred to him once. I was in his company when he referred to Billy Graham as Methuselah and said, "I hope he doesn't die before he's able to give the prayer." I mean, this is the kind of...
Well, I mean, that may be a glib thing, but is the guy not spiritual?
He's not a man who is going to make a big deal out of prayer, no. What George Bush has done is been a politician. I think it's interesting, and it's really admirable, the way he conned and lied to them.
Well, there you go again with the word conned.
Well, the way he's got the American people believing that he's a man who is very devoutly religious. I've heard him use... you know, he can tell a filthy joke. He can look at a woman's body. Nothing that, as I said, is it's going to disrespect his marriage. I heard him tell a very funny joke. We were out golfing, and it was one that
was it a dirty joke?
Well, I can tell you this: it had to do with sex and physical handicaps. Now, is this a president who is, you know, a church-going, the devout church-going president people think? No, I don't think so. And yet he's got the American people believing this.
I want to be clear. You've seen the Bush image as being devout and Christian as a sham.
I'm not saying a sham. He's not really, like, some of the Christian right think he's ready to overturn Roe versus Wade. He's not going to, like I said. He's not a sham, but he really doesn't like a lot of those people. Christian people, religious people, he's really that a person who feels comfortable being around them. And as I said, at the end of the day, after shaking lots of hands and and kissing a lot of babies, he wants to come home and put himself in a bathtub full of antiseptic because he's...
What does he think? He's been contaminated?
Well, it's a sense that he's got... There's a certain grime or a sheen of grime that needs to be worn away.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. That inaugural prayer today was something that they really fought for. They really wanted to. And yet I have on the line with me right now, Herb Sewell has written a book, The Bush Legacy, where he claims that President Bush is anything but devoutly religious. He's a man who has told jokes containing elements of sex and physical handicap. He has apparently commented on other women's bodies. He and Laura are known, we heard that whole thing last night about Laura wearing that skin-tight dress, and that he's basically, he doesn't care about prayer. He referred to Ralph Reed, the chairman of his campaign in Florida, as that turd down in Florida. Far cry from the, at least when it comes to religious matters, the president that we've been told to believe in. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. My guest is Herb Sewell, author of The Bush Legacy. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
When was your last pork chop inhalation? These are the questions I ask myself. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
With me is Herb Sewell, author of The Bush Legacy, and that George Bush is not the religious man that he is portrayed to be, that he doesn't really particularly like Christians. Look, a lot of people might say that he is just a human. Do you got a TV on or something?
I do, Phil. I'm just watching. They've got a rerun of Cops, and you want me to turn it down?
Yes, please. Did you hear my question?
Well, let me say this. People may say, well, he's just a man, but I don't think you understand what it is I'm saying here. George Bush is a man who, for instance, during grace, when they're saying grace at dinner, I've been there when he's looked up at me and winked and laughed while they're saying things about, God bless our meal. He came out of a lot of people don't know that they had a screening of Passions of the Christ at the White House. And I don't know how this is going to be taken, but during some of the more profoundly moving scenes of that film, he was making noises and
where?
In the screening room at the White House.
When they were showing, didn't he have Mel Gibson show that to him?
He did indeed. Mr. Gibson came with the film, and while they are showing the Passions of the Christ, he's munching on popcorn, and he's... it was very evident to those of us who were there that he was mocking or laughing about the whole thing. And
all right, so now what you're telling me is not only is he not the Christian we think he is, that he's anti-religious.
No, I wouldn't say he's anti-religious. I think he thinks the whole thing's pretty funny. And I think that...
During Passions of the Christ, eating popcorn is not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, it's not a bad thing, but he's doing it in a noticeable way, munching on the popcorn, chomping. During the crucifixion scene, for instance, you could hear him rattling around with a bag. And to me, that's him. That's his sixth sense of humor.
So he's saying what?
Well, I think he finds the whole idea of the crucifixion of Jesus to be something that's... amusing, I think.
Amusing? Here, this is a guy... I mean, if you have this in your book, that he thinks the crucifixion of Jesus is amusing...
Again, the book, Phil, you have to understand what the book's about. The book is about George Bush not being everything that he's... I don't know if you've been listening to me, but he's not everything that...
Well, you said that he's an imperfect guy, but I know he's munching on popcorn during a crucifixion scene of Passions of the Christ is a mocking thing.
Well, it's... I don't want to give the impression that he is anti-religious. he had the inaugural prayer today, and he did that, though, to let all of the, what he calls the squares, make them happy. But, during the Passion of the Christ, in church, Laura has admonished him for making noises and making armpit noises and these things. He's a little bit of a child, and I think that's probably why a lot of people like him as president.
You're talking about armpit noise. You mean that fart noise kids used to make with their armpits?
A couple of times, yes, when he was governor of Texas and early on as president, yes. Because he has to go off the church. It's part of his public image. He knows that, but it bores him to some degree. And so he's got on a beautiful $900 silk dress shirt, puts his hand inside the shirt, puts his hand in his armpit, and is making these ridiculous, as you say, these gas-passing burp noises with his armpit in the middle of church. And this is the George Bush I think people don't see.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Joy, go ahead. Joy, you got your radio turned up.
Okay, you want me to turn it down?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Okay. I just think, number one, if he were a friend, he shouldn't be writing this in a book or telling everybody on the radio. And I don't know what kind of friend would do that to another
friend. Well, I think it's important for the American people to know the president that they have. You know,
well, making, it really says a lot for you
is
to be associating with him.
Well, I think he's a man of substance when it comes to leading our country. But I'm speaking specifically, Joy, of this idea that George Bush is a devoutly religious man. When you're making armpit fart noises during the crucifixion scene in Passion of the Christ, that's far beyond the devoutly religious man that I think many people see him as. You know?
Well,
and this is the point that I'm trying to make.
Well, the thing is, why would you be associating with him? Are you the same kind of person he is? Or
I think he's a quality man. I think he's a wonderful man, and he's the President of the United States.
Uh-huh.
I just don't think that he is the religious man that everyone thinks he is. That's all.
Okay. And
do you find something wrong with someone who makes fart noises with their armpit? I don't understand.
Well, in the middle of church.
He's making fart noises with his armpits. What year was that?
This was when he was governor of Texas and early on.
Okay, governor of Texas. I don't care what the governor of Texas does. I'm from North Carolina.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm from North Carolina, and he's our president.
Well, he also
I think everything you're saying is stuff that has been said way before the presidency.
Well,
and who cares?
Did he do this armpit noise as president?
He did it early on, and he was admonished by his wife not to do it.
As president?
Yes, he did.
You just said when he was governor of Texas.
As governor of Texas, yes, and early on as president of the United States.
Okay, well, that doesn't make him less of a president.
All right, you're right, it doesn't. But I'm saying, when you've got a national inaugural prayer, when you're talking about, I don't think he cares one bit whether the Roe versus Wade is overturned. I've heard him make dead baby jokes.
And you're kidding me.
No. Joy, what's... you know, what's worse than unloading a truckload of dead babies? You know this joke, right?
No, I don't know the joke.
The president told this joke. The president told this joke. What's worse than unloading a truckload of dead babies? And the answer is unloading them with a pitchfork.
Uh-huh.
Now, are you kidding?
No, he did.
Okay. Does that make him any less of a president?
Not at all.
Any less of a Christian because he was making a joke?
Well, I don't think it makes him less of a president, but talking about unloading a truckload of dead babies with a pitchfork, I don't know if that makes him Christian or not. You know?
You know what? That to me, I don't know whether it makes you not a Christian or whether unloading a truckload of dead babies with a pitchfork, the President of the United States saying that?
He was relaxing one night. He was relaxing one night.
Well, why don't you guys, between you and President Bush, why don't you like a show one night, and I would like for you to say all this in front of him and let him defend himself against you. You're just trying to sell off.
Well, are you calling me a liar? So you're calling me a liar?
Look, she's not calling you. I got to move on.
You know, I've done a lot of research.
Don't call me a liar. I don't like being called a liar. It's the one thing that I don't like.
the only thing I've said is say it in front of him.
Well, meaning what?
Say it in front of the president.
Yeah,
say, hey, I was there the night you said you unloaded a truckload of dead babies with a pitchfork.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's not going to deny it. He knows he told it. He's got a whole notebook full of those jokes. He tells them at cabinet meetings.
All right, look at Joyce. Joy, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. We're going to get some more phone calls, but we're kind of up against our break time. You've heard what Joy said, that so what? He's imperfect. So what? The man tells jokes.
Well, okay, he's imperfect. So what? He tells jokes. Making fart noises with your armpit while they're nailing Jesus to the cross? And this is a guy who claims to be... you got to be kidding me. You don't think that that's...
Are you trying to bring this president down? You're a friend of his.
No, I'm not trying to bring him down, Phil. I'm trying to make the point that he's not, that he, I think he's brilliant at the way he sold this whole devout Christian thing to the American people. Here's a guy who looks at Billy Graham on TV. I remember the night that President Bush, somebody told a joke about a legless, a man with no arms and no legs. What do you call a man with no arms and no legs? Water skiing, you call him Skip. And the president shot a Louisiana hot sausage out of his mouth. He was laughing so hard. And it sailed right across the executive office, you know, onto a sofa.
We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
It seems to me, and I'm talking with Herb Sewell, author of The Bush Legacy, it seems to me that the claims you're making about Bush not being the good Christian that he claims he is all circulate around an event that you were at. He was at church.
Yes, he was at a Presbyterian church, Phil, in the Georgetown area, and it's just a little bit from a restaurant where a lot of us used to meet before the president became president, and he was at a restaurant, and he is there, and then we went off to church. Now, I'm not saying he's not a good Christian, I'm saying bad Christian, but I think that people are going to be shocked to find out in our book that he's in the in church during the hymns, and he's doing these juvenile pranks. Now,
He's making a fart noise with his armpit.
Well, and he's also passing gas where you can hear it. This is...
You're talking about the President of the United States.
I am talking about the President. And the other thing, you know, calling Billy Graham that old Methuselah, I hope he doesn't die before, and all of these jokes. And the other thing that I think is he's giving people wet... You know what a wet willy is, Phil?
You lick your finger and put it in somebody's ear?
Right. During the screening of The Passion of the Christ, at the moment when they drive the first nail into the actor's hand, into the character of Jesus' hand, he gave a wet willy to Helen Thomas, who is a reporter for the UPI, stuck a wet finger in her ear, and he thought that was hysterical, as you can hear the screams of Jesus coming from the screen. See, I don't care, personally. It's just, why is he...
Well... All right, 1-800...
What do you mean, well? Well what?
Well, he's still the president. It doesn't bother me.
Well, I can tell you, I told my publisher, and then we are banking on the fact there's going to be an awful lot of outraged people, so I think you're wrong.
You're banking on that? What if the book doesn't sell?
What if the book doesn't sell? That's very funny. The book will sell. I think when people find out that George Bush is making fart noises... you know, I don't know what it is you're trying, what you're getting at.
Well, it may be that people just think it's okay. Here is Cheryl on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hi. I turned this show on a little while ago, and I had to call because I had a few comments that I wanted to make. And one is that, first of all, does he know what a Christian is? Because, I mean, Christians, real Christians, true Christians, know that people are not perfect, and they don't expect President Bush to be perfect. That's not what's making would make him a Christian. They believe that
the only perfect person. Dead baby jokes, I think, go beyond the purview, don't you? When you're fighting
pro-life,
and then he says, you know, unloading a truckload of dead babies with a pitchfork, and he's saying this at a cabinet meeting that Putin's at.
I think,
and everyone's getting a big laugh.
I don't think the sins matter what they are, big or little, or small jokes, or bad jokes, or. I mean, it doesn't make a person a Christian.
All right. What about looking at other? What about looking at other women's rear ends?
You didn't say that. You didn't say.
All sins.
He's looking at.
And people do sin, and he's a Christian, and he'll sin just as much as anybody else will sin.
Do you think do you think it's becoming of a president for him to comment on? And forgive me, Cheryl, but I'm quoting the president. Comment on quote the rack of another woman.
When did you hear him say that?
I don't think we're here to judge him. And as far as those things, it may seem like childish things that you're bringing up. All these things are childish. I can't imagine that you really wrote a book.
The man's a married man. Would you want your own husband commenting on quote the rack, whatever that is? I'm not familiar with these terms.
Yeah, you're not familiar with these terms.
I'm not.
it seems like all you've been saying is all things that are childish. You're calling him childish for doing it, but you seem to be aware of everything he's done.
Well, I took note of this.
Like you've been aware of everything that he did during the watching the Passion of the Christ. It seems like you've seen it all.
Well, I am.
I am watching him.
I'm a journalist, and I'm writing about him, and I notice the things that he does. I notice when he and they sit around at a cabinet meeting that is paid for by taxpayers' monies, and they're making fart noises with their hands, and they're throwing paper airplanes out of windows. Yes, of course I notice these things.
But doesn't it seem very minutia when you think of what the whole...
Are you paying for that? Are you, as a taxpayer, paying for the president to be putting both of the palms of his hands together, pressing them up to his mouth, and making big fart noises?
It's
no, I don't.
Childish stuff that you're bringing up.
But are you paying for that as a taxpayer? Is my question to you.
That's not going to affect our
taxes. I don't think you are. I don't think you are.
It's not going to affect us in any way.
I don't think. I don't think you're getting a good bang for your buck there, Cheryl.
Okay.
All right, Cheryl.
Well,
thanks for your call. A lot of people are.
Well, that woman. You're trying to tell me people don't care.
No, I don't think they. I don't think your book's going to sell either.
I would watch what I say if I were you, Mr. Henry, because you don't want me to start to begin to worry here about whether my book is going to sell. I've got stuff in there that is going to, is about to explode when they find...
Look, if this is not Watergate finding out that President Bush and President Putin are making fart noises with their hands.
All right. The president has invested money, and this is taxpayer money, in joke material. He has got whoopee cushions, chattering teeth. He's got the wax bubba state dinners. Are the American taxpayers paying for that? That's my question. Ha ha ha. Stink bombs? Do you spend your...
The president's a practical joker.
Are you paying your taxes so that he can buy stink bombs?
I don't know if...
Fake dog poo, throwing fake vomit onto tables. I don't think anybody's paying their taxes for that.
Let me go over to Lindsay. Lindsay, go ahead.
Yes, my question to you is, I want to know, do you know what religion is? Can you explain to me what religion is?
Let me ask you something, Lindsay. Do you pay your taxes to have a president walk into the war room with a fake arrow through his head?
Yes, and
I do. Oh, you do not. You would never elect a president if he said, and if elected, I'm going to throw fake dog poo onto the floor of the war room.
You know what? That doesn't matter to me, because I believe that religion, as you say, Christianity and religion, he doesn't like Christians. I believe that religion is a bunch of set of rules and, you know, like these regulations that you have to do this and you have to do that. Well, I think President Bush is so far from that, and I think that's an excellent thing. Just making
that's a great point. That's a great point.
I think it's excellent.
Lindsay's making a good point. The president's a man, and maybe that's the way all religious people should be.
Well, that's not what I... My understanding is this guy is a Bible thumper and a pro-lifer.
Well, that's... What do you mean, your understanding?
Well, that's who he hangs out with. Are you trying to tell me he's not? And now I've had one call, not one call, but two, this young lady, Lindsay, telling me that if he, the President of the United States, who we pay well over $200,000 a year to, and in God knows how much money that he will make after the fact, the tax dollars that goes into supporting this government, and he's walking into the war room, or he's walking into a meeting with a Nigerian president, tosses fake vomit onto the floor and makes a fake throw-up sound, and then says, excuse me, I've got to go to the infirmary.
My point is I think that's funny, and I don't care if my money goes in.
Well, but
you know.
So you don't mind paying taxes supporting a guy who flashes people?
Oh, don't tell me he flashes people.
Well, I'm just wondering where.
I don't know, you know, if I really care if he flashes people is my point.
Well, I want to know where you draw the line.
Are you saying the president?
Your other point was about Methuselah, him being the, you know, he made this remark.
Billy Graham.
And, you know, Billy Graham is very old, and do you know who Methuselah is?
I don't know. It's a porn actress. Yeah. It's a porn star, isn't he?
So Methuselah is in the Bible, and Methuselah was the oldest man in the Bible. That was his comment, you know. I mean, I don't
wasn't
know.
Wasn't he the guy in the porn movies?
No, that was the
well,
some
you
other...
know what? I don't know if you're watching the porn movies, but I don't think President Bush is, honestly. No.
Do you think it's right for him to use invisible ink to sign United States documents?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Do you think it's right for him to use invisible ink to sign his name to treaties this country's committing to internationally?
You know, whatever he
Well, that's
chooses,
bullcrap.
You know? He was reelected.
I just want to know where you draw the line. Do you think it's all right for the president to walk up to the Queen of England and pull her dress up over her head?
You know, I just think the
problem. All right,
see,
she doesn't. This woman doesn't. You have no moral line to draw it out.
All right, okay, I got to take a break here. 1-800-449. She obviously knows that you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm telling you the truth.
Are you telling me the president walks into the war room with a fake arrow through his head?
I am saying I've seen him do similar things, yes.
All right, back with Herb Sewell, 1-800-449-8686. The President of the United States is not the devoutly religious guy we all think he is. In fact, he doesn't even like Christians. We'll be back with Herb and his book, The Bush Legacy, in a moment on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, Laura Bush wouldn't say crap if she had a mouthful of it.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, you're saying the president's doing all these bad things by throwing fake dog poo onto the floor of the war room. People are ready to forgive him for that.
Well, it angers me because I think he's coming off as Mr. Goody Two-Shoes and everybody thinks it's okay. But if I did the same thing, no one would forgive me if I'm throwing fake vomit onto tables. But the president does it, I guess it's okay. God almighty. Boy, the lies and the hypocrisy. The sheer hypocrisy of it I'd strangle on if I didn't have a children to support.
All right, let me go to a final call here. Faith, hi, Faith. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi there.
Hi.
My point is that I'm married to a very godly, wonderful Christian man, and I have two grown Christian sons, one who is a programming analyst and the other who owns his own business.
Well, what do you mean by Christian?
Grandsons.
What do you mean by Christian?
People that love God and know him in a very close personal relationship.
Then I'll bet they don't throw fake dog poo on the table.
Oh, they do. They do. They burp they fart.
That's
and they
not
have
Christian.
So much fun. Baloney.
That's
having
not
fun
Christian.
Is very Christian.
Having fun is
the
Christian.
Best thing
yes,
in the world.
But not playing with dew, not playing with a dog's feces.
It's fake.
Well, she's laughing.
What's the big deal?
What are you laughing
at? What's the big deal?
You know how much?
You are so ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Ma'am, my publisher has invested a lot of money in this book, and you're trying, you and others like you, who were planted by opposing publishers to make it sound like no one cares. That's what's pissing me off.
I'm beginning to doubt that it really is such a book. This has got to be a hoax because you are such a...
Oh, really? Do you think it's funny when a man is watching Passions of the Christ and he's farting and burping?
Now I got you. You tell me if you fart and burp.
So, in the middle of when Jesus is getting nailed to the cross, you sit there and belch.
Maybe it had a profound emotional effect on him, and that's what that causes sometimes. You know, it's very healthy, actually, to fart and burp. How much better it makes you feel.
Well, it's nice to know that. It's nice to know that if you were standing there at Calvary when they nailed Jesus to the cross, you would have lifted a leg, farted, and laughed. Thank you.
I think proportion.
God heard with. See now. Now I.
No, you're just looking for something to be controversial about. Nobody gives a crap.
You think
that's
it'd be funny for President Bush to say?
This has got to be a call.
All right, let me ask you something. Do you think that it would be funny if President Bush tripped Billy Graham? I'll go to hell.
Oh, he hung up. She hung up too. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, time now for our flashback request. This is from Brad Riley. He says, "Hey, Phil, I love your show. Can you please play the bit where the guy is making an editorial comment on binge drinking? It played sometime in December. Keep up the good work, Brad Riley." It's David Hall doing an editorial on binge drinking. David G. Hall. Here it is For Brad, it's David Hall. All right, we have the editorial comment.
Yeah, we got Mr. Hall's coming up right now.
All right, here is David G. Hall now with an editorial comment. The Bill Henry Program now presents David G. Hall with an editorial comment.
Thank you. Recently on the Phil Henry Show, opinions were expressed which management here does not agree with. Binge drinking among college students is at an all-time record clip. 1,400 student deaths, 500,000 injuries, 70,000 cases of sexual assault and date rape, and an estimated 1,400 student deaths due to binge drinking. This is a fantastic amount of achievement in just a short time. Why Henry would speak out against binge drinking, I would...
What are you doing?
What are you, butting in? I'm the vice president.
Wait a minute!
What?
You're encouraging binge drinking.
Yes, I'm encouraging binge drinking. Why the hell? You're coming on a radio show that is listened to by a great many young people, and you're alienating them by telling them not to binge drink. Do you understand what this means? 1,400 student deaths and 70,000 cases of rape? This is a boon! And what we have to do...
I'm not going to put this on the air. It's completely irresponsible. You told me we were going to have editorial comment.
Wait a second. Just hold on a minute there, Mr. Henry. You're telling me my business? I'm David G. Hall, Vice President of Syndication. I made people like you and Dr. Laura, Rush Lambeau, Jim Rome, and the rest of these guys. You're telling me what to do?
I cannot have you on my show talking about binge drinking being...
This is an editorial comment from the... God, I hate you, Henry. I got a cold and everything. You got me screaming.
Well, I'm sorry, man, but you shouldn't come on here with a cold. The fact is, this is an irresponsible...
This is something I want to do!
You need some water, Mr. Hall?
Now, how are you going to get me water with you all the way over there and me here?
I can come over. I can get the taxi cab.
Oh, shut up. Henry, I want you in my office tonight at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, in other words, you won't be there.
That's right, the same drill. Stay there all night till I get there tomorrow morning. You'll hear from my lawyer.
This has been an editorial comment by David G. Hall, Vice President. I don't know what to do. Get out of here. There you go. That's David G. Hall by request with his editorial encouraging binge drinking among college students. Fantastic rate of achievement. Coming up next hour, we have Lloyd Bonafide, and he will be with his, I think he'll have his grandson with him, or he'll just be talking about his grandson. Apparently they threw a plastic Coke bottle at a woman and flipped her off, and no woman flips off Lloyd. Later on this evening, we're also going to have Bud Dickman and a friend of his, Lanson Odell, who's a professional football player. And Lanson wants to learn how to do the radio business because he was a free agent this year and he was sitting out. Is that right, Bud?
Yeah, he sat out the season. He sat out.
Great. Okay. But he didn't play this year.
Yeah, he sat out.
Great. Is he coming in tonight?
Yeah, he said he's going to be here at 9 o'clock.
Now, let me ask you a question. Plays football?
Yeah, he played for the Baltimore Ravens.
Is he black?
Yeah.
Okay, see, that's the thing I don't get. He's black, and yet you like him.
Yeah.
Well, you don't like black people.
I know, I don't.
Well, then what are you hanging out with him for?
He played for the Baltimore Ravens.
He's still black?
You don't understand.
No, oh, yeah, sure, yeah. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.